A very special book arrived in our post in the last few days. It's called Temple Street Children's Hospital, An Illustrated History, and it's by a man called Barry Kennerk. And Barry's a bit of a history buff. We interviewed him on Moore Street a couple of years ago when he brought out a book about Moore Street. But he has a real insight into Temple Street as he works there as an administrator and archivist. Anyway, he sees the thousands of parents and children who pass through the doors of Temple Street each year. And he knew there'd be great interest in recording some of the stories of this historic Dublin hospital. So when our Katrina McFadden rang him, he invited her to come and meet him at the hospital and offered to show her all sorts of nooks and crannies that the general public don't get to see.
Good morning. Main reception, yeah. Temple Street. Just hold the line, please, now. I'll put you through. You're welcome.
Good morning, Katrina. Welcome to Temple Street Children's Hospital.
Barry, thanks a million. My first time in Temple Street, I have to say.
Well, you're very welcome and you're in for a treat. We're going to show you some parts of the building that people would not have seen before. We're here since 1879, so we've over 130 years of history on this site, starting Buckingham Street in 1872, and we're celebrating this year 100 years of continuous use for our outpatients department, opened in 1914. It's a busy place. I'm going to start with the front parlour, and that will give you a good idea of what the hospital is like when we moved here first in 1879.
Lovely, let's go. The front parlour doesn't sound like a room that should be in a hospital.
That's right. Well, we still talk about around the house when the porters are going to do their bits and pieces. That's what we say. There's still very much a feel that you're in a home here rather than just a hospital. And it has that family atmosphere. I suppose the building lends itself to that.
So that's a very grand door we're walking through, a grand glass door, and a very grand room we've just walked into, Barry.
Yes, now just to describe to listeners, the ceilings here are extremely high. They go up to, we're looking at what, maybe 15, 18 foot high ceilings. And it gives you a good idea what the hospital would have looked like when it opened its doors first in 1879. Big old rooms, really a large city mansion that was turned over into wards. This house was built in 1774-75, really had almost 100 years of use prior to the Act of Union and after. One of the residents here was George Ponsonby, who in his time was Chancellor of Ireland. He was opposed to the Act of Union. The Wilson family lived here for a time. Joseph Wilson was known as the Croesus of Dublin due to his phenomenal wealth.
And whose idea was it to turn this building into a hospital?
Well, the Sisters of Charity had taken over in Buckingham Street in 1876. As I mentioned...
Where is Buckingham Street in relation to here?
Buckingham Street's just a few streets away. Number 9 Buckingham Street was where the hospital started in 1872 to cater for really the poorest children of Dublin. Some of these children were coming in so malnourished that they cried at the sight of food. I mean, how hungry would you have to be to cry at the sight of food? They were coming in from the tenements. Some of them were in a ragged condition. And the sisters tried to care for them as best they could. But within 4 short years, they'd run out of space, essentially, and were looking for new premises. I'm going to take you up now to our chapel. This part of the building was actually a separate house. This was the home of the Parnell family, as I mentioned, from 1862 to 67.
Not Charles Stewart Parnell.
Yes, the famous Charles Stewart Parnell. We're looking at the lift here. That was a separate doorway. And this led up to what was the Parnell family's billiard room at one stage. We're now going into our chapel. We've had many events here over the years. It's still used on Sundays. And in times past, you could see the sisters streaming in here pre-Vatican II in their long choir cloaks, and they used to file down the walls. And as one of the retired doctors described to me, it was almost a medieval sight to see them come in. When they were building the chapel for us, or just prior to it being built, they didn't have the necessary funds. So they said a novena to St. John the Evangelist, and the annals tell us that after they had finished praying, the Archbishop of Dublin gave them a cheque for £500. But as the annalist wrote, as the old saying goes, much would want more, and they were only sorry they hadn't prayed for 2,500.
Now, you mentioned that the sisters kept annals. That must have been invaluable for you, writing a book like this, a history of Temple Street Hospital.
It was fantastic, and they afforded me complete access to their records, which run right from the start of the hospital, when they were coming over to Buckingham Street, sleeping on mattresses, which they'd taken over from their hospital in St. Vincent's and Stephen's Green, right up almost to the present day.
Now, your job here, Barry, is archivist for the hospital. So what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? Why does a hospital need an archivist?
The archival role is something that's quite new for me here. I'm still holding down a job as an administrator for the neurosurgical team for much of my week, and archival duties are still part-time. But it's very, very important, because I suppose I opened a Pandora's box with the book. We had a flood of people contacting us with their stories and memories, past patients and staff, and that really hasn't stopped.
This is the first history that's ever been done off Temple Street.
We had a small staff publication in 1972, but it wasn't for general readership. This is really something that we wanted to bring in the community from Hardwick Street and from all over Ireland to really make it their book, so it's not just mine.
This hospital is going to have a very special place in the hearts of lots of our listeners. Any idea how many children have passed through the doors of Temple Street?
I couldn't quantify it. What I could say is in the beginning, if you think that the hospital housed about 60 to 80 inpatients in the 1870s, the inpatients now would be on average about 260. We have about 50,000 children coming through A&E every year. It's the busiest A&E in Europe. We have one of the busiest outpatient departments. Huge numbers pass through there, 68,000. It would be on the millions, I'd imagine, at this stage.
Gosh.
Among all of those children who've passed through, one of the patients was my own father, who was here in 1940. I was looking for Brendan Bean in one of our old ward registers, didn't find Bean, but found my dad. He came here to St. Michael's Block, which was newly opened. He had bronchopneumonia. Now, prior to my father coming here, the treatment of choice was brandy and oxygen for an infant, imagine. He was lucky, he was one of the first patients to be treated with sulfonamides, so it was a new medication they were trialling, and he benefited from that. He came from Hardwick Street flats, so he was very much from the local community. What he remembers about that, it wasn't the done thing for parents to visit in those days. The parents' visit was they would stand out on the pavement outside, they'd wave up, they'd see little faces waving back at them. Oh. And the nurses became the patient's best friends oftentimes, and in those days it was a little bit more relaxed. Some of the nurses actually used to befriend patients, maybe take them home at the weekends and so on. We're now leaving the chapel, and I'm going to take you up right up to the garret area and show you something very interesting from the time of Parnell. We're now going up to a little garret area that almost no staff here in Temple Street have seen. You could imagine it as a servant's quarters in times gone by.
It's very old-fashioned. It's just a big dusty staircase we're walking up.
That's right. That's right, it is. What we're now looking at...
Oh, mind your head. Yeah. Very low rafters.
That's it. What we have up here are the original fire-damaged rafters from the time that the Parnell family were here in Temple Street. They moved out in 1867, but in February 1863, Captain Ingram, who was the first fire chief in Dublin, scrambled the fire pump from St. George's Parish. They tried, with their primitive technology, to rush up to the top of the building, and fortunately they were able to put out the fire. They had to cut some of the rafters away, but it's remarkable that they're still here over 140 years at this stage.
That's tremendous.
We're right up at the roof, and I'm going to bring you out now onto our walkway, which affords fantastic views of George's Church.
Oh wow, look at this. Oh, we're on top of Dublin City, really.
We can see right over the city. Looking back this way, we can see Pool Beg, Financial Services Centre down this way. And if you come up the walkway here, we'll have some fantastic views of George's Church. The spire of St. George's Church goes up 200 feet, and I'm guessing that we must be up at least 150. And we can actually see right back up to the Dublin Mountains behind us here as well. It's a view, as I said, that not many staff would get here, but it also gives you a first-hand view of really how old the infrastructure is that we're dealing with here. We've got some fantastic modern facilities, but we're also still rattling around in old corridors and making the best with what's essentially an old Georgian infrastructure. So we're now at the door of St. Gabriel's Ward, which is one of our newer wards here in Temple Street. And we've just bumped into John Doyle here, who is our head porter in Temple Street. John Sad Paddy was head porter here for many years, right from, when did he start, John?
1941. I've learned now over the years is that this was his second home. So he was married twice. He was married to my mother, but he was also married to Temple Street. I run a department that's 24/7. So the movement of beds, cots, patients, equipment, main reception, night staff, night telephonists. Behind it all, my job is the best job in the world. I get to meet every patient who comes through the door, every parent who comes through the door, and every staff member I meet on a daily basis. So I probably have the best job in the whole hospital.
You're a very smiley person, John.
Life is all about realising where you are, what you're actually doing, and then what difference you are making to every child who you come in contact with. It's not a big price to ask, and if you can't go around smiling in an environment where the stars of this hospital are in every bed, every cot, every outpatient that you meet, well then, I believe, as I said in the book, the jacket certainly has fitted me, so I'm quite comfortable wearing it. The children here are the children who, when you're down or when you need a bit of a pick-up, they put a smile back in your face. So I have a very special child in here at the moment, Billy Goulding from Tipperary. I think if you come in and visit him with me, you will see exactly why everybody who you see around Temple Street on a daily basis want to be here. It's not a job, it's a vocation, it's a profession. It's actually good fun to be here.
Listen, I'd love to meet Billy. Can you bring me through, John?
Okay, whenever you're ready, we'll come on.
We need a swipe card to get in here, do we?
Oh, everything is swipe access control. As you will see from when I look in the door, there's a curious pair of eyes looking out for me.
Yes, yeah.
You will see Billy, as at the moment is, he makes sounds to us now that we all can relate to. So his mum Eileen is here with him at the minute. So will you want to come on with me?
Absolutely.
Good morning, Billy. How's my number one fan today?
Oh, he's just so tiny, isn't he? And Eileen, you're Billy's mum?
Yes.
What age is Billy?
Billy was 2 in June.
And he's just lovely. And why is he in Temple Street?
He got a virus that attacked his immune system. And then his antibodies turned around and attacked him, leaving huge swelling in his spine. So he hasn't moved since the 28th of July from his chin down.
And did it just come out of the blue?
Absolutely. He was running around with his sister Perfect and she told me he fell. His right arm went first. And by the time we got to Limerick, his second arm went. And then both legs. Well, he's been in the ICU for 7 weeks. He's got the plasma exchange and the IVIG, just keeping him alive, really.
Now, we're talking today about the history of Temple Street and really what a great place it is.
Yes.
How have you found it in the months that you've been here?
I just find, especially John, actually, John has been fantastic. Nurses are fantastic. Billy loves them all. He's always kissing every one of them.
And Eileen, you're from Tipperary. John was saying you're from Tipperary. So where are you staying while you're up here in Dublin with Billy?
Temple Street has parents' accommodation upstairs. They have 2 floors of parents' accommodation. I've been living in that room since July.
And are there many parents up there? Are you? How many of you are there?
20. Yeah, about 20. You don't meet them. You get up in the morning, you come down and it's all day with Billy and then late at night you go back up. It's the bed, but it's fantastic to have it. They've often rang at 2-4 o'clock in the morning to say doctor's called and you're literally 2 minutes away.
And what are they saying about Billy? Will he be coming home anytime soon?
Professor King is saying maybe the end of this month, all going well, we'll be transferred back to Limerick.
Mm-hmm. And what about Christmas?
Sure, ideally I'm going to have him in my kitchen at Christmas. We won't have turkey, we'll probably have sausages and eggs and everything this year.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, we don't know. Every day is a different day for us.
Well, lovely to meet you and Billy, and best of luck. He's just absolutely lovely, isn't he? And he loves tractors. I see John's brought him a little tractor. He's mad about tractors.
Tractors, yeah. It has to be blue, though. It's a New Holland. It has to be blue, doesn't it, Billy? Yeah. Give John a kiss.
Billy, you melt my heart.
Oh, thanks, folks. See you later. Thank you. So, John, your father was head porter. You're head porter now. Do you have a son to pass the mantle to?
Yes, Matthew is in projects at the moment, which is a very different department in the hospital altogether. I would hope in time that the hospital would see that the Doyle legacy was to continue, that the hospital would be in great hands going forward.
Well, nice to meet you. I'll let you back to work. Thanks,
John. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, it might surprise you to know that Temple Street has its own school. We have children here sitting state examinations, and even those who aren't in for a long period of stay come here for shorter stays and they're actually taught lessons.
Gosh.
We'll go in now and have a chat to one of the teachers.
And when you say school, it's just one room, isn't it?
There are a couple of school rooms now at this stage, and we have the principal's office across the way, and of course my office is just beside it. So these are my neighbours. My own youngest child was here on one occasion as well, so she's always raving about it.
And what was your child doing here?
Well, Katie, she's been in and out of here so many times, young Katie Kinnerk. She's chesty. She's still chesty at the moment, actually, but she's attended a respiratory team in the past. But she's doing okay.
And so when children come in, even if it's only for short periods of time, they can come to school for a day or 2 days?
They can come in. They've got the playroom here as well down the corridor. And it normalises the child's experience in hospital is what it does. So this is Anne now.
Hello, Anne. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
You're the teacher here.
I am, yeah.
And who do you teach?
Well, I teach any secondary school students.
So you're the secondary school teacher, the only one?
The only one.
And there's a primary school teacher as well, is there?
There's three primary school teachers, and we have a principal, an SNA, and we also have a class assistant as well.
And so at any one time, how many children might be attending school here in the hospital?
In a classroom session, there could be about 8 students here, but very often teachers also go out to all the different wards, and there'd be a lot of bedside teaching going on.
Now, Anais, you're doing your maths there. What are you doing today?
I'm going through graphs.
And how long have you been here in Temple Street?
I've been here nearly 3 weeks now.
And so do you attend school every day?
Not every day, just whenever I can, whenever I have the energy to.
Now, you don't have to go to school while you're here, do you? So why do you choose to go to school? Most students would think, yay, I don't have to go to school, I just put my feet up and watch TV.
Being in hospital for as long as I have been, you start to miss home, and the most normal thing is school. So the fact that it's here, you're going to take any chance. You're going to take whatever is given to you. Like when you're learning, it makes you feel like you're getting better.
And you're getting home at the weekend.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant.
Definitely.
Well, enjoy that, and I'll let you back to your graphs. Thanks a million, Anais.
Thank you.
Now, Barry, the book is called Temple Street Children's Hospital, An Illustrated History. When did you decide you were actually going to put this book together?
Well, I'd been writing a little piece of history for our staff magazine over a couple of years. I'd done some pieces for Ireland's Own. And I was asked about 2 years ago to write up a piece for our new hospital website. And when I did that, I thought, you know what, I really need to put this all together. Having spoken to people around the coffee table, heard all the banter, the stories from years ago, it showed me that the missing element was the voices of the people themselves, the past patients and staff who've come through the hospital. So I put an appeal out there, and response was phenomenal. I wanted to very much make this a social history.
Now, the foreword is by Cecilia Ahern, and it's actually very moving. She talks about the staff of Temple Street being superheroes.
That's right. When she was asked to write the foreword on the very same day, I think her daughter had come up with the idea. She'd asked about the idea of superheroes, and just that concept that, you know, although the people that you see, like firefighters and nurses and doctors, you don't ordinarily think, or a child might not think of them as superheroes, but that is their superhero costume. And that's very much about what Temple Street does. It's ordinary men and women doing something extraordinary for Irish children.
Well, Barry, best of luck with the book. I believe some of the proceeds are going to the hospital.
That's right. We did a fundraising day here earlier in the week. We'll have another one coming up in December. And just listen out for dates. We're hoping to do a couple outside the hospital as well. So there'll be book signings to be announced.
Well, best of luck with the book. We're going to put the details of it on our website, rte.ie/Mooney. But best of luck with it, Barry. And thanks so much for my tour of Temple Street Children's Hospital today. Thanks a million.
It was a pleasure.